Today we're going to discuss three different unusual ways in which an animal might be disqualified to be used for kosher shechita. The first is the following. The halacha is, that an animal that is born prematurely and is not healthy and is not going to live, it's called a nephil, and that kind of an animal is not allowed to be, is considered, from halachic standpoint, is considered to be as if it's dead. And even if you do shechita to that animal, the animal is not able to be used for kosher. The Gemara says that this comes from, we learn this out from a pasuk, or it's sort of a combination of pasukim. One pasuk says, if an animal dies, that you're able to eat. And the Gemara darshins that means that there are some animals that are from kosher species, but you're not allowed to eat them, and that's referring to an aphel. How do we know which animal is an aphel? So that went from a different sukkim about karbanas, where there it says, Shivas yom tiyam imay, for 7 days you can't bring it as a carbon. Then you can bring it as a carbon. So from there we learn out that what's the difference between 7 days and 8 days? Moreover understands that for an animal, after it lives for 7 days, as it gets into the eighth day, that's when we know that it's not an aphel. And in your kabbanos, you must wait for the eighth day. But for our purposes, when we find out the animal's not an aphel, then the animal's kosher to be used for shechita. Now, that's an issur d'oraisa. An animal that's an aphel isn't actually considered, like, didn't have shechita. So even though you shechted it, you're not allowed to use it. But that's in theory, it's an issur d'oraisa. But in truth, in practice, it's only issur d'rabbanan. Because Tosfos says that most animals are not nephilim. And therefore, if you have an animal in front of you and you want to know is it an aphel or is it not an aphel, so midraisa you'd be allowed to soup what's called the parish. It's considered a kosher animal. But midrabbanan, we're not allowed to eat that animal because you have to be choshish that maybe it's an aphel, and therefore the din is the Shulchan Aruch brings, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to eat an animal until it begins its eighth day, because it might be an aphel. Now, the Nebudis adds in that when Tosfos says this din, says this over, why midrabbanan, you can't eat the animal until you know it's not an aphel. Tosfos says that it's matzui. Tosfos' words are, the nefilim have a miut to shchiach. It's shchiach to have that. The davar ha'hoivahu, okay, the chmir chachamim, Tosfos adds in that davar ha'hoivahu. Okay, you would think that saying that it's a miut, that's matzui would be enough to explain why midrabbanan you have to be concerned. So the Nebudah says that the reason why Tosfos says that is to explain to us why we particularly machmir about this din, which is to say is if you shechted an animal before the eighth day, then the animal, you're not allowed to eat it. We even, once it's too late to check, you can't know whether it's an aphel anymore, even so we're machmir, because that's what Tosfos is always a dover ha-choyvahu, which is to say is every single animal has this shiva to it. When it's born, can you shecht it right away? Could you wait 8 days? So the Chacham were extra careful, were extra machmir about that din. In contrast to other places, like, for example, it talks about Yibum, where they're knowing whether a child that was born is a nephil or not a nephil. In some very unusual cases, we would care about that in Yibum, but by and large, it doesn't make a difference. So there, we have a more traditional rule to decide whether we should be machmir or make a b'dievet. But in as far as the din of waiting 8 days for shechita, every single animal has that child to it, and therefore chacham will extra machmir on it. Okay, so now I keep mentioning that it has to get to the eighth day. Almost all the pesukim understand that means is that to the beginning of the eighth day, which is to say, is if an animal is born at 4 o'clock on one day, then when it comes nightfall, that's already the beginning of the second day, and then 6 days later is the beginning of the eighth day. Which is to say is, you don't have to wait 7 days and 8 days, 7 full 24-hour days, but rather you just, the first day, we say mitzvah and kukula, and then once it's finished 7 days like that, then it's motto, that's what we learn that from the fact that it says, shivas yom tiyam im imay, after 7 days of being by its mother, it's already not an aphel anymore, and then in the Beis Hamikdash, you're just sort of stuck having to wait till the next day, the Gemara says, because you don't bring karbanos at night. Okay, so, as a rule, this halacha usually is rare that this should apply in a commercial shechita because it's pretty unusual to have an animal that's so young. But there's an exception. Okay, and the exception is something which is the following. If you're raising cows to be dairy cows, then obviously only females give milk. So when a cow gives birth on that kind of a farm and gives birth to a male, then that male is worthless. That male has no value, no use at the dairy farm, and therefore they sell them off very quickly. They're very quickly sold off. Now, some people raise them to be full-grown animals to be used for beef, not so common. Others raise them a certain amount for veal, but there's also some of them that bring them to slaughter very, very young, to the point that there are even some that are brought within a few days of being sent off the dairy farm. They go straight to slaughter to be sold as veal, and there's a special name for that. That veal is called bob veal. When it's shefted so young, within a few weeks, but for our purposes, there's a concern that that the bob veal might be coming from animals that are even less than 8 days old, which is to say is there's a street that we were connected with, that we knew about, where they were overseeing the hashkacha on bob veal, and because this was bob veal, the veal is so young, potentially, so within even 8 days, they need to send the mashkiach to the farm where the animals are born to track animals, so you know the animal was born on this day, and now it can't be shechted until it reaches its eighth day, until 7 full days are complete, and the eighth day begins, and at that point, to check the animal. So this is a rare case where we would have where this didn't actually would apply to us. Now, there's another thing, which is the Shulchan Aruch says that this whole thing about being concerned that the animal that's less than 8 days old is a navel only applies if the animal was possibly born prematurely. But if we know that the animal went to full term, what's called kolloi chadashah, had the full 9 months for a Hamagasa for a cow, or 5 months for a Hamadaka, a sheep or a goat, then if we know that it's called a Chadashav, then it's automatically assumed to not be an Eifel, and you could check it right away. Okay, and the place can speak out, what that means is, that based on the Gemara Bukhairis, that for the Hamagasa, it needs to wait the full entire 271 days, which means is we would have to know when the animal became pregnant, and that at least 271 days have passed, that it for sure did not mate with any other animals, and then it gave birth, then we know that this animal is kol chadashav, and then we're allowed to eat that animal, even if it was not in its eighth day. Now, I'm not exactly sure how anybody did that in the olden days. How could they be so certain that it was kol chadashav? It's hard to imagine the scenario, how that worked. Nowadays, it's a little bit more realistic that could have happened, and that's because in many farms the cow become impregnated through artificial insemination, and there are no bulls around at all, there are no males on the farm at all, and therefore it's possible with proper tracking to know that it was when it became pregnant, and that in fact that this calf was not born until 271 days later, and therefore it was kol chadashah. However, now this din of kol chadashah doesn't only apply to our halacha about waiting 8 days. It applies to Simonim earlier in Simon Gimel, to the din of Ben Pekua, which is Ben Pekua, means when an animal dies, or shechted, and inside it's pregnant, so there's a fetus inside of it. So the din is, if the animal was shechted properly, and the animal was kosher, and it was not a trefa, then the Ben Pekua is mutter. Then I din it to mutter as is. And midrabanim mukhri to shecht it also. Okay, but the animals, the fetus that's in there is considered kosher. What happens if the mother did not have shechita? It was a nevela. Or what happens if the mother had shechita but it was a trefa? Then the din is that the fetus has the same din as the mother, and the ben pekua in that case is usher. The ben pekua has the same din as mother and it's usher. However, what happens if it was kol chadashav? Meaning, the fetus has been in there for a full term already. The fetus is about to be born. In that case, he does not take on the din of its mother, l'chamra, and therefore, if the mother didn't have shechita, or the mother was trefa, then the ben pekua is mutter as soon as you shecht it. It's now like a freestanding animal, it's not considered to be part of the mother to this extent, and therefore, you could shecht the fetus, and which is now a calf, you could shecht it and you could eat it. So, on that, that's what the Shulchan Aruch brings that in Simon Yud Gimel. But the Ramah says that nowadays we don't rely on that, and we assume it's not so easy to know if it's called a chadashah, as we mentioned, and therefore we don't trust that. And even if it appears to us to have been called a chadashah, we are not allowed to eat the fetus with shechita. Now, that's what the Ramah says in Simon Yud Gimel. the Magen Avraham says, well, he said in Siman Yud Gimel, but the same thing is true in our Siman, which is Siman Tezvav also, the same thing, same point of Kala Chadasha, and therefore the Magen Avraham is in Hilchas Yamtiv, where he's talking about if an animal gives birth on Yamtiv, the din is, min ha-din, you'd be allowed to shecht it if Kala Chadasha, meaning, if it was not Kala Chadasha, then of course you can't shecht it, because the animal is 98 days old, so you can't shecht it. But if the animal was kol chadasha, you'd be allowed to shecht it on yomtiv. There's a muktzah question, but yes, you're allowed to shecht it on yomtiv. But the Magen Avraham says no, not nowadays, because go look in your day in Siman Yud Gimel that the Rambam says we are not considered to be confident enough about our kol chadasha, and therefore you're not allowed to shecht the animal that was born on yomtiv. So the Magen Avraham's understanding, you know, the Rambam in Siman Yud Gimel applies to us, our din Siman as well. Applies in Arachai also, in Hilchos Yom Tov also. Okay? But the Tzvi Shor says, he says, I don't get that. He says, yeah, the Rama said in Siman Yud Gimel, how come we didn't say it again in Siman Tezvav? So maybe he'll tell me, he was Sunday, he said in Siman Yud Gimel, you don't remember it till Siman Tezvav. But what about Arachai? It says in Arachai, the Mechaber says, you're allowed to shech the animal that was born in Yom Tov. Why doesn't the Rama tell us over there that, no, nowadays we don't do this anymore, even if it's called Lech Meshav, we're not allowed to do that. So Tzvi Shor says, The Ramah's only be machin Siman Yud Gimel, because in Siman Yud Gimel, there we have a shayla of a deraisa. There the potential problem we have is a deraisa, which is if it was not kol chadasha, and the mother was a nevela or the mother was a trefa, then this animal is treif mit deraisa. So there we say we're not so confident about our determining kol chadasha, and we're machin, we won't let you shecht it. You won't let you shecht this animal. But in Audin, or in Archaim, which is a similar thing, there, as I mentioned, it's only Issa Drabonim, mid the Raisa, we assume it's not a Nefil. So the Shaila here is just, maybe the animal's a Nefil. That's a Shaila only Drabonim, probably it's a Nefil. So then we say, if you know that it's called a Chadashim, he says, so then you'd be allowed to rely on that. If you can determine that it's really called a Chadashim, then that's perfectly fine, and you don't need to wait for the animal if you can determine its color. That's what Tzvi Shor says on the Magen Avraham. He says, I don't agree with what the Magen Avraham says, that when it said in Siman Gimel's Jew over here, he has his own chiddush as to why you shouldn't rely on Kol HaChadashim. He says, you can only take Kol HaChadashim if you know how long it takes for the Zera to be curled. He says, so we don't know how long it takes for an animal for the Zera to be curled. How long could it work for? And therefore, it sort of throws a monkey wrench into figuring out Kol HaChadashim. Well, I'm not going to speak about whether if that's true and exactly what that means, but he's making an assumption that the times of the Gemara, they knew how long it takes for the Zera to be curled. No one mentioned it. No one ever tells us what that din is, and therefore we, who lost that art, are not able to make that determination. So in the end, in Sima Chadasha, he says, he essentially agrees with the Magen Avraham, Vloimet Hamei. What the Ramah said about not being Bikim is not true. But the reason you have to be Machmir is for this other reason. It is basically impossible to figure out if it's called a Chadasha. So he, in the end, is Machmir for that, and Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Yom Tov, says, he doesn't say if it's from the Magen Avraham or the Siman Chadasha, which one it is, but he assumes that we are not allowed to use Kol HaChadasha to decide that an animal could be shechted before the eighth day. And that's what we work with. That's an assumption that even though in theory there's a din, that Kol HaChadasha should be, should be mutter to shecht even before it's 8 days old, even so we do not rely on that nowadays, and we assume that every animal is a suffix if it's a nafel, and therefore until it reaches the beginning of its eighth day, it can be shechted. Now, just as an aside, while we're speaking about Bavio, even the ones that are more than 8 days old, there's a side point, which is, there's a machlokes between the Mechaber and Ramah, between the machlokes, before let's say the din. The din is, the Gemara says, there are Hamisha Krumim Haim, there are five Krums, five like layers, I'm missing the word right now, but crumbs, that are membranes, five membranes that have to be removed before an animal, before Malikas had in them. Three of them are because of Chelev, they might be a Chelev, a Chashash of Chelev, and two of them because of Dam. And one of those Krumim are, one of those Krumim that there are, is Beitzei Zohar, okay, testicles. The Beitzei Zohar have Dam in them, they have these little blood vessels running through them, they're pretty noticeable, these little, tiny little blood vessels, and therefore that crumb must be removed because of Dam. They have an interesting name, they're called bull testicles, but they also go by the name Rocky Mountain Oysters. Anyhow, so the Beitzei Zohar, you have to peel off the crumb before you do Malicha to the Beitzei Zohar, And these are machlokes, the mechaber and the amor, whether what happens if an animal, if it comes from an animal that's less than 30 days old, do you have to peel off that krum or not? So these barvi will be an example of that. Otherwise, not too typical that we would get beit zizach for less than 30 days old. But in this case, we would, which is, if anybody were to want it, do malicha and eat the beit zizach, and from barvi will be an example of this machlokes, mechaber and the ramah, that whether you have to take off the krum from those. Okay, our next topic is the following. There is a halacha that you're not allowed to shech, also be espinoi. You're not allowed to shech a parent and a child on the same day. The din for sure applies if the parent is a female, so a mother and its child. And we're machmir to say also, we're machmir therefore to say even you can't shech the father and its child either on the same day. Just before we get into our part of it, there's an interesting Meshech Chachma who talks about essentially whether if they're in two different time zones, what would be the din? Whose day does it follow, and how do you determine whether it's Oysa Vesper on the same day? So the Meshech Chachma who speaks about that, his example has to do with the North Pole and the equator, meaning basically for our purposes in different time zones. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam say that the possibility of a shechting a mother and a parent and a child are so unlikely that to happen that you don't have to be choshish for it. If you know, then you know. And in very specific cases, the Gemara says when there's a lot of animals being shechted, you have to be makpid. But on a regular day, you go to a slaughterhouse, you don't have to be concerned that this animal and that this is oisav esmerah, this is the parent and the child being shechted on the same day, and you could shech at will. So that's the simplest reason why no one pays any attention to this din at a shechita. Okay, but there's a little bit of a deeper reason also, which comes into play, which is worth understanding, and that is they're basically cows. That word used cows are broken up into four groups, or sort of four and a half. Okay, and they are on the male side there are bulls and steers. A bull is a fully functioning male that has not been castrated, as opposed to a steer which has been castrated. Most animals that are raised for beef are steers, and that's because animals that are a bull that have not been castrated are wilder, and the meat is not as tasty. So bulls are males that are being raised for beef are castrated and are just steers. Of course, that's also to do because of steers, but that's what happens. And then on the female side, the young, immature females are called heifers. That means ones that have never given birth. There's like a subcategory called heiferettes, which is ones that have given birth one time. And then mature cows that have already given birth are called cows. So the word cow, when we want to be more specific, the word cow refers to a female who's given birth more than one time. So this is how the animals are sort of divided in these ways. Within that, for the animals that go to slaughter, in almost every case, the number I heard was 80%, but in a lot of cases, they're either heifers or steers. That's the kind of animal that people like to slaughter, kosher or otherwise. And therefore, if we think about it, heifers and steers, both of them don't have any children. Okay? A heifer is by definition a female that's never given birth, and a steer is a male that's been castrated. So neither of them has children, and therefore, because of that reason alone, we wouldn't have to be so worried about whether about the concern of vice versa, right? Because the animals that we share don't have any benites. They are only children. They are not parents. Okay, now it is true, as I mentioned, that we are that we have to be choishish for zera ha'av, so we have to be concerned about our father also. So it's true that bulls eventually come to be slaughtered sooner. There are bulls around; they need them to impregnate cows. So bulls are around, and they eventually go to slaughter. And of course, cows, dairy cows, which are used kept around in order to get milk, eventually go to slaughter also. That doesn't happen so often. That does happen. So when that happens, I guess you potentially have to think about it, except that the Shulchan Aruch told us not to. And if a bull was used for artificial insemination, then it's even more concerned that he has lots of children around. Okay. As an aside, just on a side point, a little side point here is that the Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about these dinim, says if you shech the mother and the child on the same day, excuse me, then chayv malchus. And if you check the father, shech the father and the child on the same day, you're not chayv malchus. And some other case, like there's no malchus because it's a suffix. It's a suffix whether it's us or not, therefore you're not chayv malchus. So the Shaykh mentions, he says, you know, the reason why we're talking about malchus, we don't give malchus nowadays anyhow, the reason why we care about it is because a person who's over an Isser, which is chayv malchus, that person is pasul eidus, that's the din chesh mishmah, and then it says in Ebenezer, if a person is pasul eidus, and he's the aid for a wedding, he's one of the aidim for a wedding, those people are not considered married, even the chumrah, they're completely not married. So therefore, knowing who was over an Isser, that was chayv malchus, is relevant to us to know that there are cases that person will know that he was possible Aedis and whether it was Chayv Malchus, because he didn't Issa, it was Chayv Malchus, would make him that the people whose wedding he witnessed were not married at all. That's what the Shach said. That's why we would care whether it's Malchus is not Malchus. So to make your Issa on that, he says, I don't understand. He says, the person who shechted, in one of the cases, he shechted a father and a child on the same day, animals, father and child on the same day, it's not an Isser Kal, it's not an Isser that doesn't have Malchus, which is that kind of an Isser is not the kind that makes you possible Aedis. It's a regular Isser. If it's Osir, it's just as Osir as killing the mother. It's just that we don't know. So in Misafik, you're going to be possible Aedis with the right. We're going to be Safik, possible Aedis with the right, because we don't know if you did the Isser that's Chayv Malchus. The only time you're not possible Aedis is when you do an Isser. Which we do an Isser, which is so weak that it doesn't have Malchus. It's not a weak Isser, it's a strong Isser. It comes with Malchus. It just happens to be that we don't know if he did the Isser, so it's only the Suffolk. That's what creates this Kasha. And seemingly the answer is that if you look in Chosh Mishpah, the Ramah over there, on that din that the Shach is talking, that says that Midrabanan, people are possible Aedis even if they did an Isser that did not have Malchus to it. Midrabanan, all those people are possible Aedis. Now we go to Ebenezer, we say, what's the din? If a person is possible aid to mit raisa, then the people were not, and he was the aid on the wedding, people are not married, not at all, there's no need for a get, nothing, they were never married. What happens if the person was possible aid to mit rabbanim? Well, what happens if the person, we're not sure if he was possible aid or not, then the person is suffering with mikudeshes, and you need a get, and it's a suffering in all directions, we have a suffering. So now let's go back to the shach. In our case, if a person has a to check with the mother and the child on the same day, he's postulated Smith Arisa. That means if he gets Malchus, he's postulated Smith Arisa. And if he witnessed the wedding, the people are not married at all, zero. But what happens if he had killed the father and the child on the same day? So in that case, he's suffered postulated. Well, suffered postulated and postulated with Rabbanan have the same status, which is that the person, that the people are suffering the Kudusha. So therefore, it's an again test of whether the person gets Malchus or not gets Malchus, because if he gets Malchus, there'll be completely no Kudusha here. Okay. Just to throw in the din for Oysev Espinoi, just to finish up this part, the din of Oysev Espinoi starts from nightfall to nightfall. That's considered the day. So from night to night is the day, not from day to day. Starting the evening till the next evening, that's considered a day as far as Oysev Espinoi is in it. Okay, our last issue, a small question is, there's a general rule in Hilchos Trefus, which is called Yeser Kenotel Dami. Anything called Yeser, anything that's extra Kenotel, like it's missing. For example, an animal is supposed to have one liver. So if an animal has two livers, then it has Yeser, it has an extra liver, then it's Kenotel, as if it's missing a liver. So if an animal has two livers, if one extra liver, it's like if it has one less liver, meaning it has zero livers. And an animal with no liver is a trefa. So an animal that has two livers is a trefa, because it's called Yeser Kenotel Dami. If it has an extra liver, it's like missing a liver, and therefore the animal is considered a trefa. So the Gemara mentions this rule is if an animal has an extra leg. if an animal has an extra leg, and Mashkichim sent us the following pictures of different time, not all at the same time, of different chickens that were deformed, and they have more than two legs. So the rule is that if a chicken has more than two legs, it's as if it's missing a leg. So if it has three legs, it's as if it only has one leg. And therefore, call yes a kenotel dami, and the animal and the bird would be a trefa. So these are some examples. Now, if you look more carefully, the din is it has to be missing the leg from, the extra leg has to be growing from a certain spot. If it grows out from someplace too low, then that's not a trefa, because if that would be missing, the animal wouldn't be a trefa. So if you look more carefully at these pictures, it seems that some of these extra legs aren't enough to make the animal not a trefa. I'm not sure there's any one bird here that has nothing to make it a trefa. This is just an example of that din, of an animal that would be disqualified from shechita because it had this kind of a psul, showing up at the door.